most dependable 4G LTE networks. Come on, it's time to stop being fooled. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
On a sunny Monday, we come your way from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Welcome into the gym class here on KGYM. Coming up on the show, we'll take a look back at the weekend that was in the world of sports. Plenty to talk about as developments in the National Football League, the NBA playoffs, the National Hockey League playoffs, and a whole lot more. Also on the program, we're going to talk with author Bill Johnson about his book, penned one on Hal Troske, the Norway-Iowa native and former major leaguer with the Cleveland Indians. We will talk with Bill Johnson about his book coming up on the program here today. That and a whole lot more. It is Gym Class here on KGYM. Hope everyone had a great Easter holiday out there. We welcome you into the gym class here on KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Alex Kuhn will stop by a couple times, make sure everything's going okay. Our host of the co-host of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and still producer of our program at times. We'll still throw that moniker onto his plate.
Fresh off a trip to Memphis.
That's right. I'm sure a lot on that coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That'll be from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here on KGYM. And then after that on 107.5 FM, it'll be Minnesota Twins baseball as the Twins taking on the defending American League champion Cleveland Indians tonight from Target Field in Minneapolis. We'll join up at 7 o'clock with the pregame for a first pitch at about 7:07 coming up tonight. We'll get to a little bit of baseball talk. We'll get to some hockey. We'll get to some basketball as well. But again, hope everybody had a safe and a happy Easter weekend out there as we rejoin you on a glorious Monday afternoon. Too bad we're inside, man. If you're out there, take your radio with you and listen into the local programming right here on KGYM.
Yeah, much like yesterday. Yesterday was tremendous as well. So we're I always like this for the spring sports, track, tennis, golf, because they endure so many lousy days in the spring. They deserve days like this, and I know a lot are competing this afternoon and into the evening. So I think that's the best part of it for me.
I think it's a great thing. Great thing. And more of these days they can get, the better. More of these days anybody can get. The better, certainly. You know, this weekend, I was worried about this weekend, Mark, because this is, you take a look at the sports calendar, and Easter weekend is not usually jam-packed with a whole lot of stuff. Yes, you got your basketball and hockey playoffs that are getting into their first full weekend for the NBA, second weekend for the National Hockey League. Some very interesting developments as far as that is concerned, but you know, there's no racing going on because they take the Easter weekend off. A lot of other, you know, smaller things that we don't think about take the weekend off because of the Easter holiday. You've got Major League Baseball just starting to get into things. I was worried because there wouldn't be a whole lot to talk about, and then things just started to develop over the weekend. So we do have that to fall back on.
A lot of it has to do with our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. What was the weekend's biggest surprise? Would it be the Bulls beating the Celtics in Game 1? The Blackhawks falling behind the Preds 2-0?
Not scoring yet so far.
The Pirates sweeping the Cubs, or the Yankees sweeping the Cardinals, and Adam Wainwright falling to 0-3? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's.
Indeed.
I'd have to say the Blackhawks almost.
I'd have to say the Blackhawks as well.
I mean, the baseball season is so long. Yeah, it's surprising to me that the Cubs got swept. Surprising that Wainwright has fallen to 0-3 and the ERA above 7. He's been awful his first three starts. Bulls Celtics, just game one. But the Blackhawks getting shut out twice and now having to go to Nashville. That's not good. But perhaps you have a different opinion. Go ahead and weigh in, KGYMradio.com.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think just the fact that, not that Nashville is ahead 2-0, strange things happen. And, of course, on Love It or Leave It on Friday when I was sitting in for Alex on the Todd Brommelkamp show, I said, don't worry, first round of the NBA should go back to best of five. I still think that is the case. But then the Bulls come out and beat the Celtics. Mm-hmm. It's only happened 3 times in NBA history since they've gone to 7 games. Where the number 8 seed has beaten the number 1 seed. Do I think the Bulls are going to pull it off? No. But they are up 1-0, and game 2 comes up tomorrow night. We'll have it for you at 7 o'clock right here on KGYM and 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. It was a good weekend to be the Hoiberg family because Fred gets a victory in his very first NBA playoff game. And Fred's son, who I first heard about when he was an 8th grader, getting ready to go to Ames High. Now, that was back when Fred Hoiberg was still coaching in Ames for the Iowa State Cyclones. Heard a lot of things about, just wait until Ames gets their hands on young Hoiberg. They're going to be right back up there at the top as far as high school basketball in the state of Iowa again. Well, things happen. Hoiberg family leaves, and now young Hoiberg is going to Michigan State. Or at least he is committed to go to Michigan State when his college career gets underway. So that's pretty good. Fred had a pretty good weekend. That's not bad. Win your first NBA playoff game and have your kid go play for Tom Izzo.
True. I believe it's a walk-on situation. And still,
he can afford tuition.
He's a preferred walk-on, according to the Detroit Free Press. Hoiberg played at Hinsdale Central in suburban Chicago, and was committed to South Dakota to play golf.
God bless him.
Hoiberg has won 2 state titles in Illinois high school ranks. He's a left-handed shooting guard, 5'9", and
going to grow a little bit.
As the story goes, wants to follow in his dad's footsteps and coach one day.
Yeah, he's going to grow a little bit. Don't worry about it. He's not going to be overly tall, but he's going to grow. And good for him. I think that's fantastic. That's great. So, good for the Hoiberg family.
Sure, the Spartans could use him on the golf team as well.
That's not a bad gig, man.
No.
That's not a bad gig, although golfing in Michigan in March and April might not be the the best
thing. Oh, they all go south anyway.
I know. Yeah. I know. They play one. By the way, I think Iowa finished second in their home meet over the weekend.
Did indeed. Iowa State 4th. Yep.
At Finkbein. Mm-hmm. So, good job by both Iowa and Iowa State out there. Iowa probably needed it more. We're going to talk. We got Caddy Smack coming up on Wednesday, and really looking forward to that. Brian Haas will join us here in studio, but we're going to try to get talk some Iowa golf coming up in the next couple of weeks or so, mm-hmm. and because they needed a good finish to solidify getting into the regionals. I think Iowa State's fine. They're going to be okay getting into the regionals, but Iowa needed a good finish, and they're their own invitational to kind of solidify things. So,
and did so.
Yeah, I think they did it out there. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. I always like to hear from you out there. And again, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Do appreciate Jerry helping us out with that. So we had the Bulls winning over the Celtics. Some not bad NBA action. Oklahoma City-Houston was kind of a downer. I watched a lot of hockey over the weekend. Blues are now up 3-0 over the Minnesota Wild.
Doing fine.
Doing fine. Who would have thunk it department? Because with St. Louis, with the injuries that they have accrued during the year, and Minnesota playing really good hockey going into the postseason. St. Louis wasn't playing bad hockey going into the postseason. But Jake Allen has been amazing. Where's the Blackhawk offense gone? But they're running into a hot goaltender as well. You get into the playoffs, it's about goaltending and defense with everything, but especially in the National Hockey League, which harkens us back to in the NBA and in the NHL, does a regular season mean anything besides weeding out the really bad teams?
I think less so in hockey than in the NBA. I think you'll see that most of the NBA first and second seeds are going to advance and do fine. All the time, the 3-6 and 4-5 matchups are usually pretty good. But you know, I think in the NHL, because you said, I mean, you run into a hot goalie, and it makes all the difference in the world.
And that is what Chicago is running into right now.
Jerry Ask Investment Services text line is 319-366-1600-0056. Biggest surprise was the Blackhawks. Can't see the Bulls keeping it going against the Celtics.
I don't think anybody gave the Bulls a chance.
Not really.
I mean, I was reading 4-zip sweep, 4-1 at the outset, and it still may end up 4-1. You never know. Of course, obviously, the terrible, tragic news of what happened with Isaiah Thomas's sister still came out and played in Game 1 and had over 30 points. But the Bulls played very, very well in that particular game.
14:05, most surprising thing over the weekend to me is the PGA Tour player Ollie Schneiderjans playing with no hat. The RBC. It's just strange to see.
That's what my son said. He goes, he's not wearing a hat. He's a rookie, and maybe
he doesn't have the advertising.
Right, that's what I said. Maybe he doesn't have the advertising. Callaway, he's never played with a hat, though, I read. Schneiderjans almost got the win at the RBC Heritage over the weekend, but Wesley Bryan came through with that.
Ryan from Walford, it was almost the biggest surprise of the weekend. Iowa almost sweeping Nebraska in Omaha college baseball. I'm not too sure how postseason works. Sorry, it's scrolling down here. I'm not sure how postseason works in the college ranks. Are they sitting pretty at the moment? From an NCAA standpoint, I don't know. I mean, they're
still
sitting pretty to make the Big Ten tournament.
Absolutely, yes. To the Big Ten tournament. Take a look at the Big Ten baseball standings right now. Iowa is in fifth at 5-4. Minnesota's leading at 7-2. Maryland is 9-3. Then Michigan 6-3. Nebraska 5-3-1. I don't know the reasoning behind the tie, but they have a tie. And then the Hawks at 5-4. Michigan State also at 5-4 right now, and I'd have to double check for sure, but not every team makes the Big Ten baseball tournament. I know that. So if Iowa keeps going, keeping their head above the water, I think they should be fine to get into at least the Big Ten postseason tournament. They play at home coming up this weekend. They will take on Rutgers in a 3-game set, and Rutgers in baseball. Like many of the sports for the Scarlet Knights and the State University of New Jersey, not doing so well. So
91-21 on the text line. I don't have the same feeling as last year with this year's Cub team. Getting swept by the Pirates was a surprise, but it is a long season. I don't think anybody thought we'd get off to a hot start like last year when they were 25-6. David, 56-15, the Bulls did have an even season series with the Celtics.
That is true. That is true. As far as the Cubs are concerned, don't panic. Don't panic. What was Aaron Rodgers' famous line? Relax.
Mm-hmm.
Cubs are going to be fine. They're 6-6 right now. Now, with that being said, and I told you, I've told several people, I don't think it's as strong a team this year as it was last year, at least not right now. Now, remember, they made the Chapman trade. They made another trade, I think, got Montgomery in the middle last year. But as of right now, I don't think it's quite as good a team as a year ago. But it doesn't mean that the Cubs are going to fall off the face of the earth.
That was quite a team.
Absolutely. And had a lot of good things happen. Got some breaks. You create your own breaks during the year. And Pittsburgh really needed that. Yeah, it's early, but boy, they were scuffling a little bit coming to Chicago. And Cubs are still 500. They're going to be fine.
Cage and Troy weighing in. The saddest news over the weekend was about former Ravens tight end. I think it's Todd Heap.
Yeah,
accidentally rolled over with his truck and killed his 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah, it was not a good weekend. As far as that is concerned, we mentioned Isaiah Thomas's sister, Todd Heap, with that tragedy going on in Arizona. So. Yeah, not a good weekend.
27-23 claiming the Cubs are in quicksand.
Holy cow, people. should the Cub fans be doing this?
I don't think that was a Cub fan that weighed in there. I'm not sure.
Well, talking to
six and six over the weekend. 6-6.
6-6.
For the same reason the Twins are 7-5, I believe this team is going to have the Twins are going to have a losing record. I still believe the Cubs are going to win the division.
It's a marathon. It is not a sprint. And then I think people need to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Cubs got the Brewers.
I'm more concerned about Wainwright and the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals are a mystery to me. Now, they played New York when New York is red hot. That doesn't help. But the Cardinals right now, they've got problems. I think they got people out of position at this point. Wainwright has been abysmal so far. They've been getting some decent pitching performances, starting pitching. Relief has been awful for the Cardinals. Relief pitching has been bad. Same thing with Cubs. Cubs and the Cardinals' relief corps so far, for the most part, has been pretty bad. And the Cardinals can't get a big hit when they got people on base, when they do have people on base. Mm-hmm. So you put a lot of those things together, and it's not been good.
The texter claiming the Cubs are in quicksand says he or she has been a fan since 1969.
All right.
So there you have it.
I still wouldn't panic. Let's just put it this way. I don't believe that the Chicago White Sox are going to have a better record at the end of the year than the Chicago Cubs. And I believe you said, kind of paraphrasing you, the Minnesota Twins are not going to have a better record at the end of the year than the Chicago Cubs.
I don't believe that. No.
I would almost bet the house on it.
Plus, Ervin Santana can pitch every game.
Holy cow. Did he throw a masterpiece?
He did.
Man alive.
One hitter on Saturday.
That was
amazing.
We were
on the golf course and you were crying in your birdies.
No. I didn't even mention it that much.
You didn't have to. The Twins went up 5-0. And
I did say that. I go, yeah. Oh, 5-0. That's about it. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to comment. We're going to talk to author Bill Johnson coming up here in just a little bit. The National Hockey League, we mentioned Blackhawks are going to play tonight against Nashville. And you got to say that's pretty much a must victory for the Blackhawks, winning in game number 3. Didn't get a chance to mention this on Love It or Leave It on Friday. The other thing about the first round of the NBA, I don't think it would be nearly as bad if they would just play like hockey for the most part. Now the Blues are going to take 3 days off. They played yesterday. They'll play again on Wednesday in game number 4. But for the most part, hockey plays every other day. Perfect. You know when they're going to play. The NBA, after that first weekend, this is when they start to take... It's not as bad as it used to be. They start to take 3 days off between games. A couple times, it's 4 days off between games.
They rested during the regular season. Why do they need a couple of days rest now?
I don't know.
I'd argue hockey is a lot tougher on the body than pro basketball.
Did you see the picture of that hockey player that got hit in the head by the puck?
Yes.
Holy smokes. Right eye swollen shut. I can't recall who the hockey player was, but it was bad. Went in and played after that. Pretty amazing. 319-366-1600. One more thing from the weekend. Before we get to Bill Johnson in our first break here on the program today and talk a little baseball with his book about Hal Trosky, the Eastern Iowa native, the NFL schedules are going to come out apparently on Thursday. A lot of speculation going on. Pretty much has been written in stone, 99.9% sure that the opener, the Thursday night traditional opener, can we say traditional? It's been about, what, 6-7 years now? That the defending Super Bowl champion opens at home on the first Thursday night. Looks like it, well, we know it's going to be the Patriots, but it looks like it's going to be my Kansas City Chiefs having to go to Foxborough to take on the Patriots.
You'd want to play New England early, wouldn't you?
I just don't want to play New England.
Yeah.
And Chiefs always have to go to New England. I don't understand that. But have to go again.
Zach Werenski. The hockey player that was injured. And
there you go.
I think he's plays for Columbus, doesn't he?
Believe so.
Yeah.
Believe so. But it looks like it's going to be the Chiefs and the Patriots for the opening Thursday night game this year. Now, a lot of people had speculated it was going to be the a Super Bowl rematch like it was the prior year, because Atlanta and New England are scheduled to meet this year. A AFC East will take on the NFC South. And they are not going to do it because Atlanta is opening the new stadium. And don't ask me who they named it after. It's the new dome that's next to the old dome that was still in perfect shape before they imploded it and brought it down after about 15 years, the Georgia Dome. And they're going to open apparently on Sunday Night Football. Atlanta will at home, so they can debut their new stadium.
Right.
So there you go. That's the reasoning behind that.
Finally, they did hold the Boston Marathon this morning, and good news for Americans: best finishes since 1985. In the men's race, Galen Rupp, second place; Jackie Hasse, third place. Oh, by the way, Kenyans swept both races in the men's and women's.
But we're gaining. Congratulations to everybody. I know there's a lot of Eastern Iowans out there that go out to run Boston. So hopefully everybody made it through okay and had a good time with that.
Patriot Day game, Boston beat Tampa Bay 4-3 in a game that started early this morning.
Early this morning, the annual Patriots Day game. Want to remind you that coming up this Saturday night, still time for you to get your tickets. Surprise your significant other with tickets to the Schulte and Swan prom this Saturday night, April the 22nd. It'll be at the DoubleTree by Hilton Convention Complex, downtown Cedar Rapids. You can pick up your tickets this week. They're on sale right now, cash only, $20, at the following locations: Theater Cedar Rapids Box Office, 3rd Street Southeast, downtown, Elevate Salon and Spa, Edgewood Station Southwest, and inside Lindale, Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Dubuque Street on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. Good for light hors d'oeuvres, cake, and the party to remember, as only that our friends at our sister station, Z102.9 FM, can provide. And you can, Mark, this is for you and Todd and others. Show off your moves on one of the three dance floors, popular lighted dance floors, that will be there, thanks in part to Hurricane Grill and Wings in Lindale Mall.
Interesting.
Very good. I'm looking forward to it.
In my case, I'd have to dust off the moves. Okay.
I might not be doing moves, but I will be in attendance at
there you go.
The Schulte and Swan prom. All right. We'll take a break, come back, and when we do, we're going to talk to author Bill Johnson about his book, which talks about Hal Trosky, the Eastern Iowan. We'll do that when we come back. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class coming away here on KGYM.
When you need help with your garage door, it's a lot easier to ask one person with hands-on experience a few questions than it is to drive over to the big door companies and get passed around until you finally get to speak to the person who can answer your questions. Well, Olinger Garage Door is a small company with dedicated folks who help you from sales to service. Olinger Garage Doors, based in New Hall, serving Cedar Rapids and the surrounding areas. The small town guys meeting the big needs of their neighbors. Olinger GarageDoors.com.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Associated Materials, one of the largest window manufacturers in the USA, has temp to hire first and second shift production positions open right now in Cedar Rapids. Work first shift and enjoy warm weather nights off, or sleep in and work second shift. With their new progressive pay increases, you'll get a raise every 30 days. And after 90 days on the job, first shift earns $12 an hour and second shift earns $13. Interested? Call 319-390-0600. 319-390-0600.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back in the Gym Class here on a Monday on 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, KGYM. Baseball season is upon us in spring, and it's always good to talk baseball, and we're going to talk some baseball here with author Bill Johnson, who penned Hal Trosky, a baseball biography, joining us here in studio today. And Bill, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. And there's always a reason why you want to write a book like this. whether it be somebody you knew, somebody, a family member, whatever the case may be. What was the impetus for you to tackle this project?
The Cliff's Notes version was that I've always been fascinated by the game. I love history. I love writing. And then I kind of married into the extended version of the Trotsky family. My wife is connected to them. And so I had access to a lot of the things, scrapbooks, pictures, memories that wouldn't be otherwise available. And Trotsky's story hadn't been told in this length format before. I thought that was important for this area to have.
This wasn't something you banged out in a couple months, Bill, was it?
This project started in 1994, and it's taken several iterations. Finally, about 8 years ago, I got with Shona Fries at the Norway Museum and helped them with their book. And in doing that, it kind of spurred me to drag it out of the closet, dust it off, and kick it a little bit. About a year and a half ago, J.R. Ogden gave me Mark's contact information. He was kind enough to take a look at it. And he, as an editor, a perfect editor will do, he gave me enough encouragement with a reality check all sandwiched together. It was, this is good, but there's some major stylistic things, but this is good. So it was, and that was all I heard was, this is good. And so it was off I went, and I fixed some stuff up, and I found a publisher, and that was that's how it arrived.
Yeah. Well, it's a multifaceted story. Interesting man, Hal Trotsky, obviously. You got the Norway connection, one of the great baseball players of his era, but almost forgotten in that era as well, and I know you cover that in the book.
Oh, absolutely. Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, and Hank Greenberg all played in the American League at the same position at the same time, effectively keeping a guy who he still has the 20th highest single season RBI total, total bases title, hit over 90 extra base hits, which only a lot of guys didn't do. Never in an all-star team because of that. He was just an impacted, talent-dense era. And so he has been a little bit forgotten, I thought it was important at least to get the story captured.
The bookends of Hal Trotsky's career were the Great Depression and World War II. This is a time where you didn't have the showcases that young kids have today, the exposure that kids have today. How in the world was Trotsky found? How did he get to the major leagues?
It's a Cedar Rapids success story. Trotsky was scouted by he was really an outstanding player, an outstanding pitcher and outfielder in high school. And a couple of people said, hey, you should go pro. The Cardinals sent a scout up. They took a look at him, said, we'll get back to you. He didn't know what to do, so he went up to talk to Bing Miller, who played for the Athletics in the late 20s, early 30s, from Vinton. Miller said, sit tight. And by the time he got home that night, literally, Cy Slapnicka, who was a Cedar Rapids born and bred scout, played a little bit, but was really a scout and an executive, was sitting at his dining room table with his dad and an uncle, saying, hey, look, you can sign a contract, I'll send you to Cedar Rapids, and we'll have a look at you. And by that little, because the Indians at the time only had a $50,000 a year scouting budget for the entire country and a $50,000 player development budget. So they really were reliant upon the eyes and ears of everyone feeding the scouts information. And so he signed, and he came to Cedar Rapids as his first stop, the Bunnies, over at Hill Park. It was actually a critical stop for him because at that time he was a pitcher and an outfielder. They quickly figured out at the professional level he wasn't going to be very good at either. So they said, hey, get a first baseman's glove because you can hit the ball. And the rest was really history. And Cedar Rapids was the turning point for him.
Actually hit cross-handed for a while. Is
he
that
did.
Right?
He was taught. If you think about grabbing a broomstick in your barn and you grab it and you throw the bottle cap up or the corn cob or a variety of things, and he'd grab the bat and just swing like a kid would, and he would come out cross-handed. And Slapnicka actually said, hey, why don't you just turn around and hit with your hands in the same position, just from the other side of the plate. And he was able to. And actually, he did bat. He switch hit in one game later, 1936 or 37, against the Senators. But he was really a left-handed hitter that needed that little tip.
Wow. And the rest is history. And the Cleveland Indians, you think of it today, and $50,000 isn't a whole lot to go through as far as your player development is concerned. And played on Indian teams with Bob Feather, people like that. So had some good company on those Cleveland ball clubs.
Oh, absolutely. He played early on with Earl Averill, who was another unknown Hall of Famer, but a great player. Feller, of course, Mel Harder. They had some problems in the early 1940s with the management and the team, a little bit of mutiny. But for the most part, he played with an outstanding team. In 1940, had it not been for their little incident, they were with Detroit the last weekend of the season, and Detroit, by sheer luck, won the one game they needed, won the series by a game, won the season by a game, went off to the World Series. They were that good.
Bill, you tell an interesting story about September of 1933 when when Hal Trosky had a brush with Babe Ruth. Can you recount that for us?
He did. It was he had just Toledo season had he had been in the minors. Toledo season ended. He gets the call to come up to Cedar Rapids and to Cleveland to play Major League Baseball. And he shows up and he's this almost you can almost picture this doe-eyed farm boy, big hulking man child, show up. Put him in the field. He struggles initially, can't hardly get a hit. By the end of September, he's playing better. He's out in the field. Babe Ruth gets up, gets a hit, shows up at first base. And here's Hal Trosky. Because back then there was no TV, there was very little radio. Babe Ruth was one of the very few players that everyone knew of. And Hal, even living in Norway, knew who he was and was kind of starstruck. And he got up close to hold him on base to take the throws. And Ruth, Lou Gehrig was coming up next. And Ruth looked at him and said, "Hey, don't worry about me, kid. I'm not going anywhere. If you get hit by one of those liners from Gehrig, he'll take your head off." And so Trosky actually, you know, young kid, backed off, gratefully. Gehrig smoked one over his head, but Ruth, true to his word, didn't go anywhere, sat on base, and because he was 30. I mean, this, by the time he was getting close to the end, he wasn't going to run anyway, but it was a memorable thing. And Hal Trosky, for the rest of his life, he would tell that story. That was one of the first stories he'd ever tell.
Well, the next year, his true rookie year, get these numbers. 330 batting average, 35 home runs, 142 RBIs. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. 387 total bases, 89 extra base hits. The only difference between him and Trout, and it's a significant one, Mike Trout's rookie year, was that Trout had a bunch more, a lot more speed. You know, Hal was not fast. Mike Trout could steal a base and obviously put a much more difficult, dynamic position in the outfield. But Trotsky's offense in 34 was spectacular. It's still one of the great rookie seasons of all time.
Yeah. Well, you talk about Hal, and you got to take a look at pictures on just how his stature back then. Just a big, like you said, an big Iowa farm kid. And he was just a huge guy as far as the baseball diamond was concerned.
He was a walking, living stereotype, if you will, today of what you'd think about from a country hardballing kid back then. And yet, phenomenal athlete, tremendous in every way, shape, and form. You look at all his school pictures. By the time he gets to high school, he's the tallest kid in his team, biggest guy. And for most of his professional life, he was always one of the bigger guys in the locker room. He was a big guy, but still a great athlete.
Bill Johnson joining us on the Gym Class. He wrote Hal Trosky, a baseball biography. And again, that was a time where these guys weren't making a ton of money. Most of them weren't making a ton of money. They had regular jobs, went back to their hometowns and did their own thing. What did Trosky do?
Trosky came back and farmed usually in the offseason. He would come back to Iowa. This is where he'd do his conditioning. There are some great pictures in the Cleveland papers of him wearing a coat and tie chopping wood. It was those kind of posed, showing the people back in Cleveland, here's what he's doing, but making him look presentable at the time. But he was a very serious farmer. He actually, during World War II, he took a couple of years off for the headaches, and he thought he was going to retire. And he actually produced a fairly high yield in terms of the farmers near him. He was a pretty good working farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And you mentioned Norway, Iowa. And, of course, everybody now knows, that follows baseball, knows the lineage of Norway and the Boddickers and everybody that coming out of Norway, the Kims and whatnot. And you can kind of trace everything back to Hal Trosky just to show how baseball, what a baseball haven that Norway is and kind of the area around Norway.
Oh, absolutely. I think without Hal Trosky, there's not a sense in Norway. You know, tiny little town, indistinguishable from most other tiny little towns that play baseball, except that I think Hal Trosky was the one that gave them the idea that this is not impossible. And he showed them that the town itself and the baseball ethos that followed was one of, we can do this. You look at the 40s and the 50s, the teams get better. By the 60s, you've got the high school legends starting with and Bruce Kim's playing and Mike Boddicker, of course, later in the 70s. And it just perpetuated itself up until they closed the high school.
Hal Trosky suffered from migraine headaches throughout, well, maybe not throughout, but certainly later in his career. And it brought his career to an end. Can you talk about how he, I know the answer, it was an ironic way in which he contracted the migraines, really.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the truly great ironies of the whole thing. He started noticing head pain in about 37 and 38. And initially, it was written off to just stress, all sorts of reasons. I don't feel, just an unnatural feeling. But, you know, people from this area especially are pretty tough. And you just dismiss something like that. By 1940... They were definitely becoming noticeable. He'd start to have these debilitating migraine headaches. The baseball would look like, he called at one point, a bunch of feathers coming toward him, kind of an indistinguishable blur that he couldn't see. By 1941, injuries and especially the migraines drove him out of the game. It turned out later, after 2 years of, I mean, they made him 4F in the Army for the draft because of the migraines. They were serious, documented. Turns out it was a dairy intolerance, a lactose intolerance, that made it such that once he stopped drinking milk, eating ice cream and butter, the migraines cleared up and he had no problems really for the rest of his life. Which, for an Iowa dairy farmer, to have migraines induced by his own product, yeah, that's kind of cruel.
Yeah. And, of course, played a lot of baseball, not only for the Cleveland Indians, but all through his life, basically, including, you know, we always hear about the M&J League in Cedar Rapids, and was a part of that, too.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the great things, enjoyable things about this project has been every so often you come up on a topic that there's not much that's preserved. So for the M&J, for instance, I kept reading about this Manufacturers and Jobbers League, but I couldn't find anything consolidated. And so it drove me actually to do a bunch of research, which actually J.R. Ogden was kind enough to publish a few years ago in a series in the Gazette. But you find out about that, and then you start to see this whole, he was playing M&J before the M&J really took off, but the first 4 years, and then all the players he would coach would come back, and he'd come back, and they'd go to the games. There was a team in 1947, this wasn't purely M&J, but it was called the Manna Freezers, and it was a kind of a semi-pro, like a tournament team, and it included Emlyn Tunnell was on that team, along with Jack Dittmer and a few of the local players, but it was a terrific team. He only coached 1 year, and they did extremely well, but he was involved in baseball for basically as long as his health permitted for the rest of his life.
It's very much a Trotsky lineage. Hal Jr. played in the major leagues, was 1-0. The Matisse family,
Freezes.
Colin Freezes, and very much a lineage from Hal Trotsky Sr. I want to ask you, and if you would tell the story about Junior, who was going to pitch in Des Moines, and actually wasn't going to pitch, and Hal Sr. and his wife went over to just see him, right?
Right. Well, he was pitching for Colorado Springs at the time, and you've got to remember that at the time, the minor leagues were all categorized differently, and teams would fall in different leagues. So at the level he was pitching, that team from Colorado happened to be in Des Moines, and whenever he was close enough, Hal and Lorraine, Hal's wife, would go out and try to see him on the road because he was gone for most of the summer. And so they went out to Des Moines because it was a two-three hour drive, and he wasn't going to pitch that day, so it was all fine. It was a doubleheader. They stayed for the first game. They chatted between games for briefly, and then Hal said, "Hey, I'd like to get started on the traffic and head home." And so he and Lorraine bundled into the car. Off they went. Literally within seconds, the manager of Colorado Springs came up and said, "Hey, Hal Jr., Hal at the time, you've got the ball. You're going to pitch the second game." And so Hal took the hill and threw a no-hitter, the only no-hitter of his entire life, and his parents are on the road. They don't find even out about it. There's no radio, no nothing.
Cell phones back then.
No cell phones, no nothing, until the telephone call that night that, "Hey, I threw a no-hitter."
Incredible.
Amazing stuff. And what was one thing in all your research and in the long time of research that you found that really kind of made you jump back a little bit, that you had no idea about Hal
himself? I had no idea, and this came up, this was actually kind of caught me by surprise in the latter phases. The 1938 season, the Indians fired their old manager, coach, and hired a new one, Oscar Vitt. And Vitt said, "I'm going to help reshape your swing because you're striking, you're a dead pull hitter, great power hitter, good numbers." And they worked diligently all through the spring, all through the year. Trotsky got his average back up to 300, still drove in 100 runs a year, but his homer total went down, I think it might have been below 20. And that fall, that winter, he got a pay cut from the ownership. He was hitting better, more effectively, more efficiently, but because the homers are down, ownership gave him a pay cut. And that, again, with the same thing with Hal Trotsky Jr., when he left the White Sox in 1960, he had to come home for spring training because there was a problem with a health family problem. And he didn't fit into their plans, and he didn't ever come back, but they would never release him until 1972, till he was 38 years old. And it kind of drove home to me the fact that, the whole idea, we always say baseball's a business, it's not a game to the owners. And it really isn't. And it wasn't even then. I mean, it was all about the bottom line and money.
maybe even more back then.
Perhaps.
Because they didn't have as much money to throw around. Like you mentioned, $50,000 for the entire scouting budget for the Cleveland Indians for a year.
Thinner margins, absolutely.
You've published many times on a variety of subjects, very much a historian. I wondered what you learned about writing a book.
That it is a different animal from anything else I had ever attempted. It's a soul-killing process, honestly. By the time you read what I had written, mm-hmm. I still was about 40,000 words short of what the publisher wanted. And to that point, I felt like I had bled into this thing. I'd gone through periods of hating it, loving it. Because it's not just an essay. It's not a complete thought. It's a series of them all stitched together in some sort of coherent way. And then to add on to that was one of the biggest, I hate to say intellectual because it sounds highfalutin, but mental challenges that I've ever had. And to actually produce that in a way that the editor said, okay, we'll run this was astonishing to me. I'd had a better shot at a hole-in-one, I mean, honestly. So.
I can say it's very well sourced. Every quote in the book is sourced in the back, and I thought it was a great read. It's a collection of just a bunch of great stories from an era that a lot of us aren't familiar with.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. It really is. It's the idea is to convey the humanity of the man as a baseball player. There's so much in any life that you can't ever possibly capture. So when you write something like this, you've just got to cherry pick a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and good stuff. And how can people get a hold of the book?
It's available on Amazon and Kindle or regular format or Barnes & Noble. McFarland & Company in North Carolina is the publisher. Their website will do it too. Pretty much all the standard outlets.
Another book in the offing? Anything that you want to disclose at this point?
Well, actually, I appreciate the chance. I am actually started work with Billy Valencia as my influence, a book on Art Pennington. In the process of going through the Cedar Rapids baseball history, Art's story really is going to, I think, it needs to be told not just for baseball and not for the fact that he crossed the line between Jackie, before Jackie and after Jackie, but what he did in Cedar Rapids as the first non-white to run for mayor, to run for Linn County Sheriff, the social influence he had beyond the diamond. And he was only here because of baseball. That's why he arrived. And it's a good story, and I think I'm going to enjoy writing it. Hopefully it'll take less than 20 years. I'm not sure I got that left.
We'll look forward to that about Art Pennington coming up. But Hal Trosky, Baseball Biography is the book. Bill Johnson, the author. Bill, thank you very much for stopping by. Great talking baseball with you and about Hal. And best of luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you so very much.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more after this. Listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
What pauses?
Greeny, you know how to win at business?
Tell me how.
Show up early for meetings. That way everybody who's only on time looks like slackers.
Well, I got a better way to win at business.
What's that?
Instant free nights at La Quinta Inns and Suites. You can show up with no advance reservation and redeem your La Quinta Returns loyalty points for a free night that same night just by using the La Quinta app.
I feel like I'd win at business more than you.
I'd cream you at business.
Impossible. I'm undefeated at business.
Go to LQ.com now and prepare to win at business.
Yeah, your toilet's definitely clogged, but I think I found the problem. Sir, is this your action figure?
Yes, I sent him in to check out the pipes.
As a small business owner, you've got enough to deal with. Let the experts at Progressive insure your business so you can focus on more important things. With over 30 commercial, auto, and business coverage options, we'll build a plan that's right for you.
I got something else. Are these toy cars?
Had to send in backup.
Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
5 times more hires are made through Indeed.com than any other job site, according to independent research. Imagine a lottery that had 5 times more winners, or a Sunday with 5 times more touchdowns. When you're hiring, it makes 5 times more sense to use Indeed. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Back on the Monday edition of the gym class at 3:49, and our special thanks to Bill Johnson, the author of Hal Trosky, a baseball biography, and just very fascinating stuff right there. And great to talk with Bill. And as he disclosed there at the end of the interview, next book is about, he wants to put something together about Art Pennington and people that follow Cedar Rapids baseball, that follow the Colonels before that, just Cedar Rapids professional baseball, know all about Art Pennington, who just passed away recently, and just would be a fantastic figure to chronicle as far as his life is concerned.
Superman
Art Pennington.
Not only was a terrific baseball player, but as Bill said, he was socially significant in this town and elsewhere. In his heyday, and he was ever present at many functions in Cedar Rapids and almost until his death. So I'd very much look forward to reading that.
Yep, that'll be a lot of fun. And our thanks to Bill Johnson for stopping by and joining us. Now, coming up on the Tuesday edition of the gym class, we will talk baseball with Cal Eldred. We'll be stopping by Wednesday. It's our second edition of Caddy Smack coming up for the year. Steve Koepke is going to stop by. Talk a little bit about the Crandic Tour, year number two. They had a great first year, and we'll let you know about some of those great tournaments they're going to be putting on, and Brian Haas will be joining us as well. And, you know, we probably will pepper him with some advice after playing over the weekend, so we'll see.
I have a lot of questions for Brian.
And your questions are welcome on Wednesday for Brian as well. Love to hear from you on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line and what have you coming up as we talk with Brian coming up on the Wednesday edition of the program. Again, Twins baseball coming up tonight, Twins and the Cleveland Indians, and that will be at 7 o'clock. That will be on 107.5 FM. Back to NBA basketball as well as the Twins tomorrow night. Game two between the Bulls and the Celtics. Bulls winning surprisingly in game number one as they won at Boston.
If you're a fan of Michael Lawson, why not? He usually appears on Mondays throughout the summer. He'll be on every other Monday as we visit with the Gazette sports columnist. God, I had no idea of Lisa Becker's situation. Now,
Michael Porter Jr.
You need to read Mike's column on that. She has eight kids, I think. Yeah.
That's correct. That is correct. And
the mother of probably the number one draft pick considered to be right now in 2018. He's going to go to Missouri.
Correct.
But yeah, that was a great story.
Yep, Dad was hired. Dad was with Lorenzo Romar and his staff at the University of Washington, so they actually moved up to Seattle to be with. Obviously, the family moved up there. The oldest two sisters of Michael are at Missouri. One had a pretty bad injury, is not going to play anymore. The other one of the top scorers for Mizzou, and she will be back next year.
Not coincidentally, Missouri coached by Lisa's sister.
Correct, Robin.
Robin Pinchton.
Robin Becker Pinchton. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a small world, isn't it?
Good stuff. Go to GazetteOnline.com.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to read that. And that was Sunday, correct?
Yes.
That was Sunday that Mike penned that. But yeah, we will have Mike every other Monday in the spring and the summer. When we get back toward the football season in August, we'll get back Mike back on a weekly basis. If he keeps taking money from me in the golf league, it will be Mac. But we'll get Mike back on.
You're really in bad shape in that.
I am in horrible shape. You name a golfer who's having a putrid year in the PGA Tour this year, I have him on my golf team. Going from baseball and putrid golf to NBA news or college basketball news, learned this today, and not a real big shock. Josh Jackson from the University of Kansas, the terrific freshman who was in and out of the doghouse for Bill Self at times this year for KU, is going to go pro. He is not coming back. He is going to sign an agent. And, oh, by the way, that agent will be former Hawkeye B.J. Armstrong, who is going to represent Josh Jackson. Now, B.J. is a member of the Wasserman Media Group, so he is an agent for basketball players. So he is much like about 50 others, he is expected to be a lottery pick. But I really think Josh Jackson will be a lottery pick. Now, he's been in trouble. Did not get suspended for this, but he was in trouble for causing damage to the car of a women's basketball player at Kansas back in December. And then he had a quote-unquote traffic incident.
He had to sit out the first NCAA tournament game, did he not?
First Big 12
or Big 12 tournament, okay.
In which Kansas lost to TCU in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. So not a lot was put out because of that. Not a big shock that Josh Jackson is going to go into the NBA. And he will be a very good pro out there. Averaged 16.3 points per game, 7.5 rebounds in 35 games. And Kansas will miss him, but they'll replace him with three more McDonald's All-Americans. Everything's okay.
Reminder of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. It'll be up till 7 o'clock, which is the conclusion of the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. It goes like this. What was this weekend's biggest surprise? Was it the Yankees sweeping the Cardinals and Adam Wainwright falling to 0-3? Was it the Blackhawks falling behind the Predators 2-0? The Bulls beating the Celtics in Game 1? Or was it the Pirates sweeping the Cubs? Go ahead and vote now until 7 o'clock. And again, thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast.
Tell you, right now, the poll questioning, what was this weekend's biggest surprise? And right now, about half of you are saying Pirates sweeping the Cubs. Mm-hmm. We've heard from a couple of Cub fans who are worried 12 games into the season, being 6-6. Perhaps a precursor of what they might talk about on the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn coming up here. That will get started just past the top of the hour, 4 o'clock. I did not fully expect Cub fans to be, and maybe it's just a small representation.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think anyone would be panicking at this point. But does it sound like you that some are panicking at this point?
I don't know. The panic's a pretty strong word, but I think the fact that the
concerned?
Pirates came into the series at Wrigley Field limping, pretty much.
Concern,
yeah. Perhaps a little bit. Again, 12 games is a small sample size among 162 as well. So I know most Cub fans hope it's a blip on the radar.
I think it's going to be a blip in the radar. Now, Jose Quintana not pitching very well for the Chicago White Sox at this point. So I don't think the trade value is going up at the present time for Jose Quintana. But that might, who knows? It is a long baseball season. We're going to talk baseball coming up. We'll ask Cal that very question. Should Cub fans be concerned? They play the Brewers tonight, I believe, at home at Wrigley Field, a long homestand to start the season for Chicago. And we'll ask Cal his opinion, especially if the Cubs drop another one tonight to go under 500. Is there a need for some concern?
I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about both the Cubs and the Cardinals.
Cardinals' worst record in the National League right now. You recall who owns the worst record in the American League right now, Mark?
Toronto
off to a horrid start for the Blue Jays. And again, many people have said it. You can't win the pennant in April, but you sure as heck can lose it.
2-10. Are they not?
2-10, I do believe. And the Yankees are playing very, very good baseball, getting some very good pitching right now. Starting pitching, especially for New York. So we'll talk about all things Major League Baseball coming up tomorrow with Cal. Thanks to the few texters as well, and also to the few tweeters that said the Nebraska tie was due to a curfew problem.
Oh, okay.
So they went beyond curfew. So it was called a tie. There you go. Thanks for helping us out. APC, there you go. Todd Brommelkamp Show coming up next.
If you're thinking about selling your home, now is the time to think about getting that sold sign planted out front ASAP. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about those sold signs. You see, each spring he buys a bunch of them because he plants them in people's